Hello, everyone, and welcome to Sports World Report. As usual, I'm your host, Denton Ramsey. This is episode 9 of the show, and today is Wednesday, February 8th, 2012. Thank you very much for joining us. You can follow along with show notes and more on the official blog site at sportsworldreport.wordpress.com, and feel free to email in any questions, comments, or story ideas to sportsworldreport@gmail.com, or call and leave a voicemail at 254-307-SWRE. Again, that is 254-307-7973. Also, please subscribe on iTunes, tell your friends about the show, and take a brief moment to write a review on the Sports World Report iTunes page. In addition, you can find us on Facebook and Twitter at SP World Report. You can also find my personal Twitter account at Denton Ramsey, and you can find me on Facebook by looking up Denton Ramsey. Jumping right in, we've got a whole lot to discuss today when it comes to Baylor and Houston sports. First and foremost, guys, let's talk about Baylor men's basketball. They're number 6 in the nation right now. They have a huge matchup tonight against number 7, Kansas. The game will be on ESPN2 at 6 p.m. Central Time. Just a few storylines from BaylorBears.com. Again, all of these stories that we are discussing will be available in the show notes as far as links to these stories. For the second time in less than 3 weeks, the Farrell Center will be the site of a pivotal top 10 showdown. Number 6 Baylor, 21-2 overall, 8-2 in the Big 12, hosts number 10 Kansas, 18-5 overall, 8-2 in conference, with positioning in the Big 12 standings on the line. Wednesday's game will tip at 6:03 p.m. Central Time on ESPN2 and ESPN3. Wednesday marks the 20th series meeting and the 18th in the Big 12 era. Kansas leads the series 17-2 and 7-1 in Waco. Baylor will face a nationally ranked Kansas team for the 18th consecutive meeting. Wednesday will be the 11th meeting with the Jayhawks ranked in the top 10. Again, these next two matchups for Baylor are big. I'm going to talk about the Missouri matchup at the end of the show, but these next two games are the Bears' only two losses of the season. They lost by 1 to Missouri and then pretty much got slaughtered at Kansas on the road. Hopefully the Bears can take care of business tonight at home against Kansas. It's a sellout crowd. We'll see what happens. I'll keep you guys updated on that. Also, real quickly, touching on last week's games, big, big wins for the Bears. They won at A&M on a Pierre Jackson 3 with 17 seconds left that was just sick. And then they won at Oklahoma State in a game that shouldn't have been as close as it was, but they took care of business and they got the win. Moving on to women's basketball, the Lady Bears remain number 1 in the nation. They're 24-0 overall and 11-0 in the Big 12. They won 81-54 against Oklahoma on February 6th. And again, they're looking fantastic. We'll touch more on the continued schedule for the Lady Bears at the end of the show. I'll go ahead and read the first few paragraphs of this win over Oklahoma. Baylor and Oklahoma have often played the most anticipated and best games in the Big 12 each season. Not this year, when Brittany Griner and the top-ranked Lady Bears have made it no contest. Griner scored 27 points with 8 rebounds and 8 blocks, and Baylor remained undefeated with their second lopsided victory in less than 2 weeks against the Sooners, winning 81-54 at home Monday night. Again, the remainder of their schedule will be discussed at the end of the show. Moving on, Robert Griffin III, as we talked about in the last show, was able to deliver the closing prayer at the National Prayer Breakfast. I'm going to go ahead and play this video clip for you. Hopefully it won't pop up the ad on KWTX. Here we go.
Before I close in prayer, I'd just like to say sick and Bears. And to the president, if you ever get, you know, a little tired of running the country or anything like that, a little bored, I'd love to play you in basketball. It'd be a friendly competition because I wouldn't want anyone to feel like I was trying to hurt you or anything. So I wouldn't dunk on you at all. But, no, this has been a really long breakfast and the longest I've ever been a part of. I guess everyone up here got the memo except for me because both of my cups are empty down there because I drunk them. No one else drank anything, and I really have to use the bathroom. But So I'll go ahead and close this out so we can all go ahead and do that. If you could bow your heads, please. Father God, we thank you for this day. It's a day you have made, and we rejoice and we're glad in it. Today has truly been a great day. Many great speakers and a lovely singer who has blessed all of our hearts and brought many to tears. Father God, in Jesus' name, we thank you that, you know, we could sit up here and thank you for so many different things and be here all day. But most of all, we thank you for having the ability to make a difference in everyone's lives, giving us the power to go out and change the world. We thank you for your love, your grace, and your mercy. And as we leave today, we thank you that we take those qualities and can show the world, not only with our words, but with our actions. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Thank you. Well done.
Again, guys, a video to that will be available in the show notes. Moving on and still discussing RG3, this story comes from the ESPN blog. It's entitled Robert Griffin III Aiming to Go Number One Overall by Jamison Hensley. The latest mock drafts from ESPN analysts Mel Kiper and Todd McShay both have quarterback Robert Griffin III going to the Cleveland Browns at the fourth overall pick. The Heisman Trophy winner from Baylor told ESPN Radio's Mike and Mike in the Morning that he has higher aspirations. Quote, obviously, I want to be number one, RG3 said. Whenever you line up and play quarterback, you want to be the best. We're all competitors out here. RG3 said he won't demand to play right away, especially if he is selected first by the Indianapolis Colts. Quote, it wouldn't bother me at all, RG3 said. If there is an entrenched quarterback, my job is to learn from him. Like I said, I will compete against anyone I have to compete against. But you also learn from the greats. Here in Indy, they have Peyton Manning. Peyton Manning. I wouldn't mind sitting behind him to help bolster my career down the road. RG3 means no disrespect to the Browns when he says this. He simply wants to be the first player taken and sign the biggest contract in this year's draft. If the Browns were selecting first, Griffin would be talking about his love for the dog pound. He essentially said this near the end of the interview when asked if he would have an issue with any team that drafted him. Whoever pays the bills, that's who I'm playing for. Again, the link to this story will be available in the show notes, and I'll keep you guys informed as it gets closer to draft day for RG3. Moving on and discussing Baylor football, this comes from BaylorBears.com. This is discussing the 2012 signing class, and it's entitled, 2012 signing class, quote, as good as we've ever signed. Signing day has come and gone, and Baylor's 2012 signing class consists of 23 players, two early enrollees, and 21 student-athletes expected to join the program this summer. For full highlights and bios, make sure to check out Signing Day Central at BaylorBears.com. Quote, we feel very confident and very passionate about this class, Bryle said, as being as good as we've ever signed in our first five signing classes at Baylor. We've got some outstanding players on both sides of the ball that we know have the potential to be All-American football players and to play on Sundays. The national recruiting sites tended to agree with Bryle's statements. 247sports.com had the Bears' 2012 class ranked as high as number 24 nationally and third in the Big 12, behind only Texas and Oklahoma. Again, guys, the link to this story will be available in the show notes. We have got to move on. Still discussing football, this comes from the Houston Texans website. Texans setting sights higher in 2012 by Nick Scherfield. The Texans' 2011 season ended two games short of the Super Bowl with a 7-point loss to the Baltimore Ravens, sending them home in the divisional round of the playoffs. Despite the lingering disappointment from that narrow loss and the what-ifs that come with it, optimism abounds for what's ahead in 2012. Quote, we expect nothing less than a Super Bowl, defensive end Antonio Smith said last week after playing in the Pro Bowl. That's what we want to aim our eyes at. We've already made division champs. We've already made it to the playoffs. You could shoot nothing more than a Super Bowl. If you're shooting anything less than that, you're cheating yourself. Again, the full story will be available in the show notes. I do want to go ahead and play this video clip that's also from the Texans website with the team talking about 2012 and the future after the Pro Bowl win.
With the Pro Bowl in the rearview mirror, the Houston Texans now look to the future. Some of them talked about what 2012 will hold for them now that it's starting.
Well, it's time to go back and get ready for the draft, get ready for Indianapolis. I'm going to give the guys a little break next week because even though we were in Hawaii, we're kind of working a little bit. So we'll let them spend some time with their families and we'll get started next week.
Well, I think this next week we have off and I'm going to sleep the whole week. Then immediately, you know, we start out rebuilding the team and with the draft and free agency and that type of thing. And you know, in the bigger picture as a group, you know, it's kind of we always say in the room, there's still some yards out there. I mean, go find other ways and new wrinkles to make this thing go even better than it has.
Well, like you said, there's so much promise. We're going to take the next step. I mean, we're going to take the next step. The guys know it. We know it. I know it. Fans know it. Coaches know it. Players know it. We're going to do it.
We can only get better. You know, each year, you want to always go out and perform better than you did the year before. You know, this year, we went and lost in the second round, you know. So next year, our goal is to take it even further and see what happens.
What's next for the Texans in 2012 is we expect nothing less but the Super Bowl. You know, that's what we want to aim our eyes at. We've already made division champs. We've already made it to the playoffs. You can shoot nothing more but for a Super Bowl, you know. If you're shooting anything less than that, you're cheating yourself.
It was just a building step. Obviously, we wanted to be able to make it as far as we could, went the second round, and even with all the adversity we had. So, like I said, it's just a path that we want to take and keep growing. So now the expectations aren't just playoffs anymore. It's bigger and better things, AFC Championship and Super Bowl.
Definitely high hopes for the Texans. Looking forward to next season. Definitely keep you guys informed as the offseason progresses. Moving on to another Baylor sport, talking about Baylor baseball. Their season is right around the corner as well. The baseball team begins their season next Friday, February 17th, at Baylor Ballpark. Go ahead and read this story real quick, at least the first few paragraphs. This is talking about the Bears return 20 letter winners from last season's regional runner-up team. Baylor baseball held its first spring practice on a picture-perfect 65-degree afternoon, Friday, January 27th, at Baylor Ballpark. The Bears will spend the next 3 weeks preparing for the February 17th season opener against Oral Roberts. Quote, with the way last season ended, this has more of a feel that it is the practice of the next day after that final game, head coach Steve Smith said. We have so many of those guys back that experience that painful end. That's not a loss that you put aside very easily. We're now getting close to the opportunity to go out and play and maybe begin to put that one aside. For the second straight season, Baylor returns 8 position starters among 20 returning letter winners. The Bears lost only 5 letter winners from last season's team that finished 31-28 and advanced to the championship round of the NCAA Houston Regional. 2 of those 5 were all Big 12 starting pitchers, Logan Verrett and Brooks Pinkard, so the Bears will have to fill 2 holes in their starting pitching rotation. Again, the link to this story will be available in the show notes. Baylor baseball right around the corner starting next weekend. Baylor softball, meanwhile, begins their season this weekend with a big, big tournament. They will be hosting the Getterman QTI Classic starting Friday, February 10th, here in Waco. Quick read of this story also from BaylorBears.com. Whitney Canyon and Kathy Shelton were named to USA Softball National Collegiate Player of the Year Award watch list. Juniors Whitney Canyon and Kathy Shelton have been selected to the initial watch list for the 11th annual USA Softball National Collegiate Player of the Year Award, the Amateur Softball Association announced Wednesday. Again, the link to this story will be available in the show notes, and I will be talking more about the baseball and softball schedules as we get closer towards the end of the show. Houston Astros, meanwhile, back to Houston sports. The Astros and Major League Baseball spring training is really right around the corner. This comes to you from Astros.com. This story is entitled, Mills Steering Ship Amidst Winds Have Changed. Manager Expects Astros Spring to Thrive on Competition by Brian McTaggart. Everywhere Astros manager Brad Mills looked this offseason, change was taking place. For the first time in nearly 20 years, the Astros switched owners when a group led by Houston businessman Jim Crane was approved by Major League Baseball in November, and soon Jeff Lunhow was aboard as general manager, replacing Ed Wade as the club looked to chart a new course. The changes didn't stop there. Several new faces in the baseball operation department and a couple of defections in the coaching staff put Mills in position to have more than a few get-to-know-you meetings and phone calls while gearing up for 2012. Quote, we've had a lot to do, Mills said. We've had to meet a lot of new people, both on the field and off the field. We've got a lot of new players we've had to talk to and get used to them and have them get used to us. I think we're looking forward to getting spring training started and to put all that behind us and put these relationships together on the field. Mills, entering his third season as manager of the Astros, remains the man in charge of the Astros' rebuilding process. It's a difficult task. The team, as well as Mills' win-loss record, has taken its lumps in the past 2 years as the Astros have sacrificed wins at the major league level to acquire prospects and put themselves in position to compete in the future. Astros pitchers and catchers will work out at the club's complex in Kissimmee, Florida for the first time on February 20th, with the full squad hitting the field 6 days later. Again, the link to this story will be available in the show notes. Also talking about Houston sports, Houston Rockets were able to pick up a win. They were able to win 99-90 at Denver. They will be playing again this evening at Portland, and I will be touching on that story or that schedule at the end of the show. Right now, let me go ahead and briefly read this story to you from Rockets.com that talks about their win over the Nuggets. It's by Jason Friedman. Funny thing about winning. Regardless of how you get there, no matter how ugly the journey may be along the way, that W in the win column at the end of the night always manages to look like a work of art. That sentiment certainly sums up the Rockets' feelings after escaping Denver with a much-needed 99-90 road win over the shorthanded Nuggets Monday night during a game that frequently possessed about as much flavor as a plate filled to the brim with day-old cucumbers. There were stops and starts aplenty, turnovers galore, and enough missed layups and free throws to send basketball pursuists into a deep, dark depression. But the Rockets rose to the occasion when it mattered most, and as a result, they were able to look back and laugh at the comedy of errors they survived en route to recording their 14th win of the season. Again, the link to this story will be available in the show notes. And now quickly for updated NBA standings. Again, as usual, we're going to go through the top three teams in each division of each conference. In the Eastern Conference Atlantic, we got Philadelphia at 18-7, Boston at 14-10, New York at 10-15. In the Central, we got Chicago at 21-6, Indiana at 17-7, and Milwaukee at 10-14. In the Southeast, we've got Miami at 19-6, Atlanta at 16-9, and Orlando at 15-10. In the Western Conference, in the Northwest, we've got Oklahoma City at 19-5, Denver at 15-10, Portland at 14-11. In the Pacific, we've got the LA Clippers at 15-7, the LA Lakers at 14-11, and Phoenix at 11-14. In the Southwest, we've got San Antonio at 17-9, Dallas at 14-11, and Houston at 14-11. That will wrap up the stories for today's episode, and to go ahead and give you guys the schedule for Baylor and Houston sports this week. We've got Baylor men's basketball versus Kansas tonight at 6 p.m. Central Time on ESPN2. Houston Rockets at Portland tonight, 9 p.m. Central Time on KTXH in Houston. Houston Rockets at Phoenix Thursday, February 9th, 8 p.m. Central Time on FSN Houston. Baylor softball versus Wichita State, Friday, February 10th, 3 p.m. Central Time. Baylor softball versus Iowa, Friday, February 10th, 5:30 p.m. Central Time. Baylor softball versus Arkansas, Saturday, February 11th, 12:30 p.m. Central Time. Baylor men's basketball travels to Missouri on Saturday, February 11th for a 12:45 p.m. Central Time tip-off on the Big 12 Network. Baylor softball plays against Belmont at home on Saturday, February 11th at 5:30 p.m. Central Time. Baylor women's basketball plays against Texas A&M at home at the Farrell Center on Saturday, February 11th at 5 p.m. Central Time on FSN. Baylor softball plays against UT Arlington at home in Waco on Sunday, February 12th at 1 p.m. Central Time. Houston Rockets travel to Golden State on Sunday, February 12th for an 8 p.m. Central Time tip-off on FSN Houston. Baylor men's basketball returns home to host Iowa State on Monday, February 13th at 6 p.m. Central Time on ESPNU. And the Houston Rockets travel to Memphis on Tuesday, February 14th for a Valentine's Day showdown at 7 p.m. Central Time on FSN Houston. Again, that will wrap up Episode 9 of Sports World Report. I'm your host, Denton Ramsey. Please email me, contact me on Twitter, follow me. Whatever you want to do as far as contacting me, whether it's Facebook, Twitter, or email, definitely you guys be in touch. Look forward to talking to you guys again next week.